Our second reading is from Revelation, the 22nd chapter. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with his testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Our holy gospel this seventh Sunday of Easter comes from the gospel of John in the 17th chapter. Jesus prayed, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I and them, and you and me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Alleluia, Christ is risen. And in this season of Easter, as we have encountered Christ and his hopes for us in these past several weeks, we have been challenged by the potential for change that has been promised to happen. God doing new things means we must find our center and our focus. God doing new things means we must seek out anchors, those unchanging constant things in the midst of a world of change. And as we come toward the conclusion of Jesus' high priestly prayer, the prayer that he prays in the book of John during the night of his betrayal, we find that perhaps Jesus understands our need for anchors better than anybody. Because what Jesus sees in his disciples is both extremely promising and worrisome. Jesus prays, the glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. And this theme of oneness of God the Father with Christ is something that appears multiple times over these few chapters from the Gospel of John. We confess to this day that while Christ is unique from the Father, they are also one, unified in divinity yet separate in our experience of them. This oneness is not easy for us to wrap our heads around, and Christ is drawing attention to it himself and is something that has always mystified me in this. But the oneness that I have always found most intriguing that Jesus speaks of in the Gospel of John is the oneness that Christ desires for his disciples. Maybe I find it intriguing in the same manner that that many of us might find a car wreck intriguing, for example. I mean, this idea of unity among the followers of Christ is rather quaint, isn't it? The problem is, even among those first followers of Jesus, there were different ideas about who Jesus was. If his followers didn't have different ideas, then we wouldn't have had four different gospel accounts in our Bible, would we? And that doesn't even begin to account for all those other gospels that didn't actually make it into the Bible. Now, how many of you heard about the quote-unquote scandalous discovery of the Gospel of Judas that was making the rounds about 8 or 9 years ago? Yeah? That gospel was probably written by somebody not named Judas, and probably written about 100 or so years after Jesus' death and resurrection. And that's not the only gospel that didn't make the cut in Scripture. Off the top of my head, I can come up with four or five other gospels that didn't make it into our Bible, but that try to offer some additional perspective on who this Jesus person was. Now, if these followers of Christ couldn't maintain their unity of thought on Jesus within just the first couple hundred years, how is it that we can possibly expect to maintain that same oneness that Christ was praying for here in this day and age? Let's be honest, I can't remember the last time we were all truly one. Even in this very room, there is division. Some of us are Republicans and some of us are Democrats. Some of us have entirely given up on trusting on a single political party. Some of us are early service folks. Some of us are later service folks. And sometimes we have different preferences. We just do. And so when we look at our Christian faith, at the varieties of denominations that we have in our world, I find it hard to believe that we could all ever be one again. The Christian church was already beginning to divide mere months after Jesus' death and resurrection. And now to this day, we find that those divisions are dividing amongst themselves. It's for this reason that we have, in the Lutheran expression of Christianity here in the United States, at least four major denominations. And don't get me started on the other expressions of the Christian faith. Okay, it's too late for that. I mean, think about it. We have so many Christian traditions who are all slightly different, and they have slightly different belief structures. And beyond our Lutheran denominations, we have Roman Catholic, North American Catholic, Methodist, Wesleyan Methodist, Presbyterian, Quaker, Church of Christ, United Church of Christ, Disciples of Christ, Pentecostal, Apostolic, Episcopalian, Southern Baptist, Northern Baptist, American Baptist, Independent Baptist, Christian Unity Baptist, African Methodist Episcopal, Church of God, Nazarene, Jehovah's Witnesses, and I really could keep going, but I promised Elis I'd be home for lunch. With all of this diversity in our Christian expressions, how can we possibly be one? It seems that in this one way, we have fallen well short. But maybe not, because the anchors of our faith remain. We don't all have the same sacraments. We don't all believe in exactly the same way, but we all have the same center. We all have the same focus. For we all declare that, Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
And maybe that's the only unity we really need. Maybe that's the only vision that we have to declare together for the sake of the world, that despite the things that are different about us, we all find our hope and our assurance in the death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, the one who is the Christ. Think about it. When Christ was praying for his disciples to be one, he probably wasn't talking about complete uniformity. He was talking about singularity of purpose. If all his disciples were exactly the same, then they wouldn't have been able to reach out as effectively to different communities. It's for this reason that Peter eventually began to seek out the Gentiles near Jerusalem, and Paul then traveled across Asia Minor and into Europe to share the faith with various communities there. Meanwhile, Philip is reported to have converted an Ethiopian eunuch, and as I've mentioned a few weeks ago, Thomas is believed to have traveled as far as India for the sake of the gospel. If these disciples had been carbon copies of one another, then their ministry would have failed. The church of Christ would not have grown. But the disciples were indeed one in vision, one in mission. These disciples were not the same, but they were unified, and I believe that we too, despite the differences and changes in our church, can be unified as well. We can be unified because we hold these same truths, that Christ has died and is risen. We can be unified because we honor Christ's call to serve our neighbors, especially those who are downtrodden. We can be unified because, Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen
indeed.
Alleluia.
And if we can agree on that, if we can agree on that insane notion that Christ is risen, nothing else matters as much. For we are all anchored and grounded in the promise of Christ's resurrection. And in this promise, Easter never ends. For we live in the season of Christ's resurrection. And in Christ's resurrection, we find that truly all of us are one in him. Amen.